BlogTalkRadio.com.
I only have one thing to say. It's great to be back on Monday Night Raw!
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
This is my yard now.
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
If I were to apply to you now on this concrete, a perfectly executed inside cradle, commonly known as a small package, how long do you think it would take you to escape?
You would never escape a perfectly executed small package. 99% of the time, a small package when applied expertly by an expert wrestler like myself always works.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The Queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
Live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, we have an incredible show planned with SummerSlam around the corner. We have Big Show versus Big Cass, Jason Jordan on Miz TV, and a triple threat main event with Roman Reigns, Samoa Joe, and Braun Strowman.
And Bray Wyatt turning on the red light.
We'll get to that. This is also the 21st anniversary when Kurt Angle won a gold medal with a broken freaking neck. Then he got interrupted by the music you're hearing, which we'll talk about in 2 seconds. I'm Sir Rockin. That is Lindsay Ward. This is the Raw Post Show, presented as always by GoodWork.net and Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. And Lindsay, this was not a segment where, okay, ho-hum, Paul Heyman cuts a promo. Ho-hum, he drops a bomb. Basically telling us, if Brock Lesnar loses, he's leaving.
Which sort of lines up to the news we got over the weekend from UFC, which was, well, Jon Jones challenged Brock Lesnar to a fight. So it's adding more smoke to that smoldering fire between Jon Jones and Brock Lesnar and sort of fueling those rumors of, well, could Brock Lesnar be going back?
There's an article on WWE.com about it. The quote tonight, why don't we just rename this SummerSlam 2017? Brock Lesnar loses the title. He accused Angle of being told to make Lesnar pay the ultimate price. He said if Lesnar loses the title at SummerSlam, then Lesnar and him will leave WWE. But Paul Heyman says Lesnar will not lose the title. The intrigue is there. They're making it seem like, okay, this is the out. So you have to wonder, is this WWE playing with us? Or as I always say, where there's smoke, there is indeed fire.
I would say at this point it's probably 50-50 till I see more confirmation that Brock is in fact taking this seriously. I'm not really going to make a judgment either way. I mean, I would hope they change out the title because, you know, again, it is the main belt on the show. They're not pushing the IC title as hard as they should with the main belt off the show. So it's like, all right, if you're not going to do that, bring your main title back, which means you have to take it off of Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar is obviously entertaining an idea of going back to UFC. So this is kind of a good way to solve two problems.
Now, just thinking out loud, if you really want to get into business and make things really interesting, what would it take to cause more hype? Then how about you get Jon Jones to appear at SummerSlam?
No.
No?
No.
Why not?
Keep it separate.
Oh, I would assume UFC would, but I don't know. Maybe not Don't have him appear. Just have him cut a video. Do something.
No, because here's the thing. That's telegraphing, you know?
I think this was telegraphing.
Not as hard. It's like, does it put Brock keeping the title in doubt? Yes. Especially with the announcement that Jon Jones made over the weekend. Yes, absolutely. But I don't think as many people are as aware of this or aware of that drop as they would be something like this. Because I didn't hear about it until you told me about it, so...
Well, it was all over SportsCenter today. So, people are talking about it.
People are talking about it, but it's like, you know what, here's the thing. You keep UFC and WWE separate. Don't bring Jon Jones in, because then what that does is that actually hurts the UFC fight. Because they're already storylining it up by dropping all these hints and having Jon Jones make the challenge and all this other stuff. Now you're going to call the legitimacy of the fight into question.
With these owners, never say never is the best way to put it. That's all. Anyway, I'm just throwing it out there. Anyway, matches that happened on Monday Night Raw. The Hardy Boys beat Gallows and Anderson. The match was good.
Yeah, it was fine.
You had the Revival talking crap on commentary. After the match, there was a stare down and then a brawl between all three teams. So it looks like we're going to get some sort of three-way with these guys.
Possibly.
Probably as an undercard match at SummerSlam, since it's 4 hours long. But that's okay. Other matches that happened on Raw, Team Akira Tozawa, which was Cedric Alexander, Akira Tozawa, and Rich Swann, took on Aria Davari, Tony Nese, and TJP.
I don't like the new shirt.
The new Titus O'Neil Worldwide shirt?
Nope, don't like it.
Team Akira Tozawa picked up the win. Also on the show, let's see, one of the matches we... Oh, Elias beat Kalisto.
Why do you have to keep taking away people's last names?
Because?
Like, he's just Elias. Like, what the crap? Is that like Cher?
I guess. Bayley beat Nia Jax by countout. They've done so much to kill the crowd on Bayley.
Yeah, they have.
It is quite sad.
It really is sad.
Match was fine. The best part of the match was Nia doing the ponytail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I showed a little bit more personality, and she and Alexa are adorable together. Love them.
So Bayley won by countout after Nia Jax ran in the steps. Alexa came out. They tried to get back at her, but Bayley bailed out. So, yeah, we're getting hyped for the match, but they're really not doing Bayley any favors. They've done a lot of harm to her, which is quite sad. All right.
Yeah, it is.
So backstage, my guest of this time, to quote Renee Young, was Dean Ambrose. Showed some footage of what happened last week. Ambrose admitted they looked good out there, but he said, felt like old times, right? And then Seth Rollins appears. Ambrose said he doesn't trust Rollins and had his eyes in the back of his head last week. Ambrose said as much as the WWE Universe and even a small part of him wants to do it, been burned by Seth Rollins before, and it ain't happening again.
Okay, number one, it has to be really awkward to have your wife ask you if you're getting back together with your boyfriend.
Number one.
Number one. Is that Natty's house? Sorry, I'm watching House Hunters. I swear to God, Natty's house just popped up.
So what's number two?
Number two, they're adorable together. And number three, I love how they're telling this story between Dean and Seth. They're taking their time with it. You're exploring that whole, like, aftermath of that huge breakup feud that you have with Dean and Seth right after the Shield. And I'm really enjoying how they're telling this story. They followed it up later.
Before we get to later.
We want to talk about later.
But there's a setup to get to later.
Okay, fine.
Seth Rollins was confronted by Sheamus and Cesaro, who mocked him, said there's nothing he could do on anything right now, and that Ambrose was his only chance of doing something. Maybe he should star a new show on the WWE Network called Ride Alone. And then Seth Rollins challenged one to a fight. Sheamus got serious and took up challenge. Then they had a match, which Seth Rollins won.
You had one job, Sheamus.
To get you points, and did not do it. Then they beat down Seth Rollins, and this is where I'll let you continue.
And Dean Ambrose came running in to save his frenemy? I guess that's what they are at this point. And, well, Dean Ambrose got beat down too, with Cesaro standing tall at the end. This then leads backstage to another segment between Dean and Seth, where Dean's in the locker room, he's sore from getting beat down, Seth walks up, and basically Dean is like, look, we're not friends, I don't trust you, I'll never trust you, you know, and if you're going to say to me, oh, well, you know, because Seth wanted to know why Dean saved him.
Because he basically said that if he was in this position, if he didn't come out, he would look like a jerk.
Exactly. And you know, Dean goes, and before you say, well, I would do the same for you, Dean's like, the hell you would. Which is like, ooh! And he's not lying!
And it's this nice, slow build. It's the best story they're telling on Raw.
It really is.
Because it's not 15-minute promos. It's backstage segments. And it's run-ins. And there's so much history there that you don't have to do much to the story because the story writes itself.
It does.
And it's going to come to a point where they finally get back on the same page, and you can see it now. It's going to be Cesaro and Sheamus versus the two of them at some point. But they're slowly getting there. We're riding that wave to get there, which is always nice.
Mm-hmm.
We had Miz TV. The guest at this time was Jason Jordan. Bo found a stylist.
Thank God.
So... Miz basically wanted Jason Jordan to, you know, join him and become part of the Miztourage. But Jordan's like, no. Alright, and then he said it was a tempting offer, he still says the past. Miz accused Jordan of being able to get what he wants because his father's general manager. And he said, no, I don't want any special treatment. Miz says the company will chew him up and spit him out. He said, maybe it will, but he didn't want to be associated with someone like the Miz. And then Miz talked about all things he's done, and then started trash-talking Kurt Angle. He's a washed-up jock who got the job out of pity, and then he started running down Kurt Angle over and over and over again. And then after a while, like 7 shots, Jordan's like, if you say one more thing, I'll make you regret it. So he goes to cheap shot him. Jordan catches him, does a belt over the head belly to belly into the Miztourage. That was the best part of the segment. No one cared about Jason Jordan. No one believed he was the Sun Angle. And Miz is awesome for trying to get the heat. That's my analysis. Go ahead.
My biggest takeaway is Bo Dallas finally got a stylist.
But it's like, Miz was trying to do everything to get the heat on it. And it's like, Jason Jordan, what made him good, Chad Gable gave him the charisma.
I mean, they're trying. They're really, really pushing this. They're really, really, really trying. And this was the, you know, eventuality of the storyline is eventually Jason's going to have to go out there on his own. And he's going to have to sell this. And this isn't necessarily Jason's fault. Some of this is in the writing and the way that they did this. They put him in front of a live crowd.
The writing was fine. He just needed some passion. I need some emotion out of this kid. And there wasn't any.
I know.
That's the problem. It's like, this was a easy, simple angle. Stand up for the man. If he's really your father, don't, after the guy says 7 different things about how awful your father is, you get up and you smack him. Don't say, if you say one more thing, you'll regret it. It's like, no, get up and just smack him right across the face.
But he's trying to sell it as if he's Kurt Angle's son, and that's not something Kurt Angle would do.
Yes, it is.
Later.
It's what Kurt Angle's always done. It just, emotion. Show some emotion. That's all. That's all I'm asking for. Just a little bit of motion. Get yourself over, because that was not getting you over. So, unless he's going to be really great in the ring, yeah, he needs something. By the way, he needs better music, too.
Yeah.
That indie-rific version of the Kurt Angle theme, as you called it, that was not very good. You know who also had indie-rific music? Big Cass.
Oh, God.
In your main event of Monday Night Raw, or the thing that closed the show, was Big Cass versus Big Show, in a really slow, boring match, which ended in DQ, where then Enzo got involved, and then he got laid out. Then Big Show, because Big Show's got to go over, Big Show knocks out Big Cass. And eventually Big Show gets up and they leave. That's how Raw closed. This was not a good segment.
No, it wasn't. It really, really wasn't. It was really hard to watch.
And we're going to get this one more time at SummerSlam. Think about
Why?
That. Think about that.
Why?
Because you got to get Big Cass over.
No, we don't.
Yes, you do. This is a thing. You have to get him over.
Can't we do something else? This isn't working.
Bray Wyatt came to the ring. This is something else. There's no escape for you, your children, or Finn Balor. He said he saw Balor for what he truly is, the putrid shell of a man who never was. He mocked the notion of being able to fall down only to get right back up. Bray Wyatt, you know, did his laugh. He said there's no getting up when the either world knocks you down, and there is no escape. Bray Wyatt dropped the...
Was that the point where he... just, like, sprawled himself out on the ring. Okay.
Then he got up, stood there wide open with his arms up in a crucifix. Finn Balor's music lights gimmick played. He appeared, doing the same pose. Bray Wyatt started to laugh. Wyatt came over. Balor kicked him in the head. Balor took Bray Wyatt out of the ring, kicked him over the barricade. Balor stood tall. This was good.
This is really good. Honestly, I kind of laughed when Balor's thing started started flashing because it's a red light.
I think that was the tease.
Bray's turning on his red light for, you know, he's open for business kind of thing, because he was acting a little trampy tonight.
He was. But yeah, I think the red light was a tease of, a demon showing up?
Maybe? I mean, you know, Balor teleported.
Kind of. He may have just ran to the ring. Who knows?
But he still teleported his way into Bray Wyatt's heart.
Many love stories on the show.
Many, many, many love stories.
What was not a love story is the three-way, the real main event that happened at the 10 o'clock hour, not the end of the show. Samoa Joe, Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, a triple threat match. They just beat the crap out of each other for 15 minutes with Roman Reigns going over.
I was fine with this.
This was a really good match.
They
beat the crap out of each other. It was very enjoyable to watch. Roman going over here means they're trying to put doubt of, you know, okay, Roman's looking strong heading into the SummerSlam, so we know what that means. But I think Roman still goes over at SummerSlam, which is why him beating Joe here was kind of like, oh, now he finally beat Joe. So it's like, you're just killing a lot of the credibility Joe has kind of in this build-up. So maybe Joe wins at SummerSlam. I don't know. We'll see. But
the rumor I'm hearing right now, which, you know, again, all rumor, is that they're looking at either Joe or Braun for the title.
Maybe.
Like I said, all rumor, but as much as I love Roman, which it hurts right now, I don't think right now is the time to put the title on Roman. I would say you go with either Joe or Braun, because that is a more popular choice, especially if you're trying to reestablish the title. I mean, personally, as much as I love Joe, which that isn't as painful, I would put it on Braun. Braun's got the better track record right now.
So what do you think overall of the show?
It was okay. It was good in spots, but overall it was okay. The last hour dragged really, really badly. I still say you could have flipped Cass and the Triple Threat. You really should have, and it would have been a little bit better show.
But the reason they didn't? The third hour drop. And that's exactly why.
I guess.
I don't know. Anyway. That'll do it for the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network tomorrow night. 11:30 p.m. Eastern, twitch.tv/rockradioshow is WTR Sims. Main event, Roman Reigns vs. Tim Stein. Check it out, twitch.tv/rockradioshow. Go to youtube.com/rockradioshow for exclusive videos regarding WTR Sims. Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, it's another edition of The Rack.
That's right, tune in. We'll have news, we'll have notes, we'll have SmackDown, we'll have NXT, and well, we're going to have to come up with a discussion because there's no pay-per-view this week. I'm so excited. So tune in Thursday nights. And well, if you missed it, tune in to last week's show for the one, the only, Shawn Michaels. That's right, we talked to him all about his new movie. So go listen, check it out, and buy the movie. It's out tomorrow.
Pure Country, Pure Heart. Available
there we go.
Tomorrow, August 1st, on Blu-ray, DVD and digital HD. So, Rack Radio Show, Facebook, Twitter.com, YouTube.com/Rack Radio Show, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, however you want to say it, we're there. Search Rack Radio Show. Saturday night, midnight is CB Radio. We'll hopefully finish the Greater Than Great Debate because people bailed on us at the very end, so we couldn't finish it, so we'll hopefully finish it this week. It's Greater Than Great Debate. Part of CB Radio is we are up 500 episodes on the September 9th. So CBRadioLive.com for more information. CBRadioLive on Facebook and Twitter. Hashtag Blame Rob when a celebrity dies. Sunday night, WrestleTalk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Monday for the Raw Post, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. Long Day was right here at the Wild Talk Radio Network. At Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LNSWRD. Go to my website, psychboarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitters.
Girlwork.net, wrestling figure photography, Instagram.com/MBG1211. Follow the journey there. She's Lindsay, I'm Rock. We'll see you Thursday night for The Rack. Right back here for the Raw Post Show. 11:10 p.m. Eastern, a long day away, so the Wild Talk Radio Network, streaming live on TuneIn Radio, right here at wildtalkradio.com.
BlakeRadio.com.